Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, senior pastor here at GBC, and I hope that you are available to hear the invitation of Jesus today. Today we continue our series entitled Lives Changed by Jesus. 10 stories from the New Testament of people whose lives were changed by a single common factor, encountering Jesus. This week, Belinda Lakeland reflects on the transformed life of the so-called sinful woman who anoints him in Luke chapter 7. Our reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. I'd like to read along with me. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay them back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Good morning, friends. Let me add my welcome to you. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. Before the pandemic, I was hosting these meals that I called One Pot Wednesday, where I literally invited everybody. I put it on Facebook and I said, "Hey, if you know me, come to my house. I will feed you and we will hang out." It was an open invitation. And in doing this, there were really three things I figured could go wrong. The first was that literally everybody I knew could show up at my house. I could have hundreds of people and no way of feeding them. The second thing, which is probably worse than the first, was that nobody would show up and that I would be left on my own with all this food. But my third fear, my greatest fear, was somewhere between the two, that people would come, but the wrong combination of people would show up. That I would have people who came from different walks of life with different opinions and different views on the world, and that there would be conflict, there would be tension. You know, I could have vegans and carnivores and environmentalists and miners and people who hang toilet paper over and people who hang toilet paper under. There's any number of combinations of people that could cause conflict. And you know, when you have a party, you want interesting guests, but you want people to get along. Nobody wants tension at a party. Except perhaps Simon the Pharisee, the host of the dinner party that Mark has just read to us, because it seems that he's deliberately orchestrated events to have a dinner party that will be tense. But for us to understand what's happening here and the tension at this party, we're going to need to do a little bit of work in understanding the culture before we get to this passage. Because this story, it happened in a different time and place. We're a fairly laid-back, modern Australian culture, but this happened in an ancient Middle Eastern culture. So I'm just going to take a minute to introduce some of the characters and some of the customs of that culture to help us understand what might be happening at this party. Firstly, you'll notice that Mark, he said he is reading Luke chapter 7. So Luke, it's a biography of the life of Jesus, and we started in chapter 7, which is unusual. Normally you start at chapter 1. So if we had read some of the earlier parts of this biography, we would have met Jesus. Jesus who is walking around the countryside and telling people that they can have their sins forgiven, that they can have life with God. And he's healing people, he's performing miracles. And he's quite popular. Crowds are gathering around him and they're beginning to try and figure out who Jesus is, this new guy on the block. And they're asking things like, is Jesus a prophet? And we would have met the Pharisees. The Pharisees are a group of men who in that culture were quite esteemed. Pharisee is kind of a job title, a little bit like a politician or a teacher perhaps. And the Pharisees taught the ordinary, everyday people the laws that they were supposed to be following in order to lead a life that was pleasing to God. They were the law keepers. And so it bothered the Pharisees a little bit when this new guy, who's not a Pharisee, he hasn't been to one of their Pharisee schools, shows up and starts teaching people what it means to be right with God. And it has nothing to do with the Pharisees and their laws. So it seems the Pharisees are skeptical of Jesus' teaching and perhaps jealous of his popularity. And whenever the Pharisees are mentioned so far in this biography, there's conflict between them and Jesus. So there's our first clue that there's going to be tension at this party. A Pharisee invites Jesus to have a meal with him. But there's something else, and it's got to do with greeting customs. So every culture has a way of welcoming guests. If you come to my house for a One Pot Wednesday, you're more than welcome. I will welcome you at the door. I will assure you it's lovely to see you, invite you in, offer you a drink, give you a place to sit, and then quietly beg my children not to tell embarrassing stories about me. That's my way of welcoming you, of making you feel at home. And if I neglected to do any of those things, if I didn't answer the door, if I didn't speak to you, if I didn't give you food or drink or make a place for you, you would feel that. You would think that I was a rude host. And in this culture, there are ways of greeting guests. But there's kind of two levels of guests at this party, so let me just unpack that. When an important person like a Pharisee invites another important person over like Jesus, Jesus the official guest. But really anyone could come, a little bit like a One Pot Wednesday. Anyone who would be interested in the conversation is welcome to sort of come in, but they hover around the edges. They're not the invited guests. But they get to be there to listen in on what the important people are talking about, their theology or politics, philosophy, whatever it is the issues of the day are. We go out for movies, they went to dinner parties to listen to important people chat. But the official guests, well, they needed to be greeted properly. And so in this case, it would be a kiss on the face. Then you would ask them to come and sit on a stool where they would be given water and oil to clean their hands and their feet. And with clean hands and feet, then a short prayer would be offered to God, thanks. And then they would recline to eat. Now, we don't recline to eat, so let me just explain this last thing. I've actually put a photo in the Bible app there to help you visualize what is happening. So they sort of reclined on couch on your left side with your left hand holding your head, and you used your right hand to eat. And that meant your feet were sort of out towards the crowd, out towards the walls. And in that culture, if you neglected to greet someone properly, then that also would be considered a shameful thing. See, this culture, it's an honor-shame culture. Your honor is everything. And to be shamed is to be disgraced. So it's really crucial that people are welcomed properly in this culture. And we know, it doesn't tell us at the start of the story, but the end of the story, we hear Jesus sort of rebuking Simon for not welcoming him properly. So we're going to need that information to help us understand the story. So we've done the work, so let's take a look at this story now and the tension that I believe Simon is deliberately using here. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Simon wants to see Jesus, but he doesn't want to honor him. So Jesus comes to the party, but there's no greeting, no oil, no water. And this is no accident. In an honor-shame culture, you do not forget to greet your guests. And remember, this is actually a public snubbing because there are people there. There are crowds around watching the way Simon doesn't welcome Jesus, the way he dishonors him, he shames him. And what's surprising about this is Jesus takes it. Jesus comes in, he's not welcomed, and he reclines anyway. And you could just imagine the response of the crowd as they understand the tension that is brewing at this party. They're there on the edges, and they would begin to murmur and whisper. What's going on? Why did he treat Jesus like that? Is Jesus not worthy of honor? But one of the people there in the crowd begin to cry, to weep. And then a woman steps out from the uninvited space into the invited space and begins to weep over Jesus' feet and clean Jesus' feet with her own tears. And it's not just a woman, it's that woman. You know, that woman that we gossip about, that woman that we all know about her sinful life. It seems in that town, that woman had quite the reputation as leading a sinful life. Now, we don't know. Those details haven't been handed down to us in this story. We're not told her name, and we're not told the nature of her sin. Many people have suggested she's a prostitute. Yeah, I guess she could be. But I think that lacks a little bit of imagination. I mean, just like there are many ways that a man could be known as a sinner, there are many ways that a woman could be known as a sinner. Perhaps she was too poor to make the offerings to cover for her sin. Maybe there was something scandalous about her marriage. Maybe she didn't really follow food laws the way that she was supposed to. We just don't know. We're not told. But it turns out it doesn't even matter because later on in the story, we're going to find out that whatever it was that defined her as a sinful person has been forgiven. So we often call her the sinful woman, but she's probably better off being called the forgiven woman. But anyway, here she is, that woman, stepping forward, stepping into this party, anointing Jesus' feet. And at this point, Simon thinks he's seen enough. If he's trying to figure out who Jesus is, well, he feels like here's the evidence. Simon is thinking, I knew it. I knew it. I knew he couldn't be a prophet because if he were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, that sinner. And there is no way a man of God would allow this to happen. Case closed. Jesus is a false prophet. But at this point, Jesus is going to show Simon that he's not seeing clearly. I mean, he's seeing, but he's not really understanding what's happening. And so Jesus raises the tension in the room even more by going to address the host. So he says to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. In other words, Simon, you and I were going to chat. And if you've ever had someone say that to you, you know the feeling, the tension that that creates. But then in typical Jewish teacher fashion, Jesus tells a story. This is written in verse 41. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. He's right. That's the right answer. The person who had the bigger debt does love more. But he's missed the point. He's not seeing what's happening. You see, Simon is looking at Jesus and saying, look, Jesus associates with sinners. He can't be a prophet. But the truth is, if Jesus didn't associate with sinners, he would not be reclining on Simon's couch. because there are two types of sinners at this party. There are the law breakers, yes, but there are the law keepers. And they both have a problem. They both have debt. They both have sin that needs to be forgiven. And Jesus wants to help Simon see this problem, help him see who he is. And so he keeps speaking to him. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus wants Simon to see. And the key to this is the woman. Do you see this woman? I mean, do you see her? When you look at her, you're seeing her sin. You're seeing her reputation. You're seeing her past. That's not who she is. Clearly, her life has been changed because she's here laying out great love on me. Why would she do that? Because her sins are forgiven. And do you see yourself? You think you're a rule keeper. You think you're a moral person, but you dishonored me. You didn't greet me the way you're supposed to. You think you know who's in and out with God, but you're wrong. Because people who have had their sins forgiven love, even if it's a little. And Simon doesn't love at all. His sins haven't been forgiven. Jesus is drawing attention to this because the key to understanding Jesus, you want to know who Jesus is, then look at what's happening in front of you. Do you see this woman? And if we want to understand Jesus, if we want to know how Jesus changes lives, then we need to do the same thing. We need to see this woman. And so I'm going to go back to the start of the story where the woman steps into the story. And I'm going to try and reconstruct it in a way that I think makes sense of what Jesus is saying to Simon here when he says, you didn't, she did, you dishonored me, she honored me, you tried to shame me, she tried to cover my shame in this honor-shame culture. But I'm going to use the work of the Middle Eastern scholar named Dr. Kenneth Bailey and his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, which I've referenced in the YouTube app if you'd like to look it up. Because there is more than one way to reconstruct this story. We really are given the bare bones. And so any explanation of why the woman is crying is sort of, I guess, an educated guess. But I really feel like what Ken Bailey has to say about why the woman is crying will really help us see how Jesus changes lives. So we come back to the start of this story. It's tense. Simon has invited Jesus into the party, but he has not welcomed him properly. He didn't greet him. He didn't wash his hands and feet. And the crowd noticed this. And so the crowd are murmuring. The crowd are whispering, what's going on? And one woman begins to cry. You see, this woman has come prepared to meet Jesus. We know that she's had her sins forgiven. We don't know where, when, how, but somewhere, somehow, she has heard the message of Jesus. She has heard that she is welcome into God's family and that her many sins, whatever they are, have been forgiven. And so she's come prepared with this perfume, and she would expect, as everybody would expect, that Jesus would be honored as a guest. But to her horror, to her dismay, this man that she came to honor is publicly dishonored. He's shamed. And she feels the weight of this, and she feels powerless and perhaps angry. I mean, how could they? How could they treat Jesus like this? He doesn't deserve it. He's worthy of honor. And she begins to weep. And then she realizes with her tears that she has water. And so she makes this decision to bravely step out into this space where she's not welcome, and she will wash Jesus' feet. She will welcome him the way he's supposed to be welcomed. And so she uses the tears from her face to clean Jesus' feet. But now she has to improvise because she has to dry his feet. And so, like many women are capable of doing, she uses her hair, she improvises to sort of dry his feet. And now his feet are clean and dry. And so she welcomes him with a kiss. She kisses his feet. There's no oil. And so she uses her perfume on Jesus' feet. She will honor him. She is trying to cover up this shame that he experienced. She just takes what she has, tears, hair, perfume, and she honors Jesus. She doesn't yell at the Pharisees. She doesn't rant and rage. She doesn't even say anything. But she just tries to do what she can. She peacefully intervenes to try and honor Jesus. Because that's what happens when Jesus changes your life. You want to honor Jesus. You want to step in with whatever you have and let people know about the man who has changed your life, who has forgiven your sins. You show much love when Jesus forgives your sins. And if only Simon could see this. Do you see this woman? The evidence for who Jesus is right in front of his eyes. This woman is showing great love. Simon should be asking, what kind of man is Jesus? What kind of prophet is he that people respond to him this way? And Jesus, because he loves sinners, he accepts what the woman does. He doesn't usher her away or sort of embarrassingly say, I don't know why that happened, but he accepts it and he honors her in return. He speaks to her and he says to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus does this because Jesus loves sinners. He loves this woman and he accepts what she is trying to do for him. And if Simon could see this, then he would understand that Jesus would love him too, if only he would allow it. Luke doesn't tell us how Simon responds, if Simon ever does see correctly. And I think Luke does that deliberately to sort of leave it open. What will Simon do? What do you think he should do? But more importantly, what will you do? Can you see this woman? And can you see what she's doing? Can you see that this is evidence that Jesus is worthy of honor? That Jesus forgives sins? That Jesus changes your life and fills your life with love and the ability to step into places and to try and cover shame and to do the right thing when others don't? Maybe today you would like to be like that woman for the first time, to publicly step up and say, I want to honor Jesus with my life. You can do that today if you would like. There's going to be a button in the chat that you can click saying you'd like to commit your life to Jesus. If you click on that, it will start a chat with the online host and you can request prayer or tell them that you would like to honor Jesus with your life and they will speak to you. Maybe you're still in that questioning mode. Maybe you're still asking, what kind of man is Jesus that he brings out that response in people? Well, Alpha is a place that you can ask those questions. We are starting it tomorrow night, and you are more than welcome to join us at Alpha, where we will have conversations about who Jesus is and how he changes lives. But if you've already had your sins forgiven, then I want to ask you, how do you honor Jesus? Do you see Jesus as worthy of honor? Are you using what you have to honor him, to protect his reputation, to let others know how he has changed your life. If we could see, if we could see what's really happening in this story, we would know that Jesus is worthy of honor because Jesus changes our lives.
The actions of this unnamed but forgiven woman stand in stark contrast to Simon's. In the face of his deliberate shaming of Jesus, this woman, motivated by her great love, seeks to honor Jesus with what she has in her hands. Her actions are a powerful example for each of us to honor Jesus, who is indeed worthy of all honor. Don't forget to join us for the Big Three this week, a midweek podcast where Matt, Jess, and I sit down and unpack three big questions that were raised in the sermon. You can find the Big Three everywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also download a discipleship menu for this sermon. The menus are a selection of activities that you can engage in on your own, with a friend, or even in a small group to put this message into practice in your life. Download the menu from our website at gaimiabaptist.org.au under the Next Steps and Growing tab. We continue our staggered return to face-to-face gatherings this week. For more details, keep an eye out on our social media platforms. Our 9:30 a.m. live stream service continues for a few more weeks, and we'd love for you to join us at www.gbconline.org.au. Until next time, God bless.